right there before it. So, make sure you find it. I remember one time I was sitting on the platform and a preacher came and he preached out of the book of Micah. And I was sitting in front of everybody and I had to lie because I couldn't find it. So I just stared down at my Bible and nodded my head like I was there. How many have ever done that before? You couldn't find it? You're like, yeah, I'm with you, but not really. Well, find the book of Jude. It's important. Jude only has one chapter in it. Jude is the brother of James, making him the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Jude was part of the family. Judas really would be his full name. Not Judas Iscariot, not one that went out and hung himself. But he would have been part of the family that watched Jesus grow up as a child and as a young man. But if you read in the Gospels, his family didn't believe who he was until later on. Can you imagine? Later on in life, probably around about AD 68, Jesus has been off the scene now for about 30 years. Many of the other apostles have already given their life for the cause of Christ, with the exception of maybe John. Jude sits down and writes a letter to the Christians, to the churches, and he wants to write a letter of encouragement. He wants to be a blessing to them. He wants to be a man that helps. So read with me, beginning in verse number 1. We'll get to 17. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all of them between here and there, but I do need to give a little bit of introduction. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And in verse number 3, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he says, I was going to talk about Christ, I was going to talk about the cross, I was going to tell you how good it is just to be saved. But notice, he said it was needful. By the way, if you circle words in your Bible, you ought to circle the word needful. Needful. He says, needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. What we see here is a man that wanted to write a letter in a certain style, a certain format, a certain reference, a certain desire, but God led him in a different direction. This is another, what we would call proof that the Word of God is the Word of God. This man, Jude, half-brother of James, or half-brother of Jesus, felt led of the Holy Spirit to write the words that are here. We see that throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament. But Jude's warnings were to believers that had not heard from Jesus nor the disciples for several years, and apparently false prophets, false teaching had begun to creep in, and they were beginning to deliver messages that seemed real, but they were still false. By the way, that's still going on today in Christianity. False teachers have crept in on so many different ways. Even though the book of Jude was written over 2,000 years ago, the warnings and the applications that are in it are still relevant for us today. We need to weigh or try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Just because it sounds good doesn't always necessarily mean that it is good. Now, we're living in a culture today that for the last 75 or 80 years, they've lived on this principle, tell a lie often enough and to enough people, and sooner or later, they'll begin to believe it. Well, the Word of God is not like that. The Word of God is truth. You see these false teachers in the movements today. We were at the fair, and we saw our fair share of, not no pun intended, fair share of false teachers that came by the booth. And Brother Wendell and I were there, and a couple young men came through with white shirts on, nice tie. They looked really sharp. And the guy stopped to talk, and I said, move on down. I don't have time. There's two young men that were Mormons that were on their missionary trip. And I refused to argue at the booth. I just refused to do it. First of all, whenever people that are standing afar off, they have no idea who the fool is. Because whenever you argue with somebody, both of you look like that. I just told them, just move on down. And they came back around the second time, and then they just said something, and that was it. Amen. And I wanted Brother Wendell to talk to him a little bit, but he didn't. But I had Jehovah's Witnesses that came by this week. I had a multitude of people that believe that baptism is part of salvation. And baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. It's identification with Christ after salvation. But we had all kinds of those come around, and we dealt with many people that were struggling. Most of who we dealt with this week were young people that go to church somewhere. That were not, they could never pinpoint a time in their life that they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Can I tell you one of the things that scares me is in our churches today, we have a whole multitude of people that have never personally trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've kind of grew up in it. They've kind of gone through the motions and all of that. And they've said the right things and they lived the right thing. And they've checked all the boxes except for one. So whenever we ask them the question, are you 50, 75, or 100% sure that you're going to heaven? They don't have an answer. And here's the truth. Anything less than 100 is zero. And I always tell the young people, I said, listen, you have a 100% chance of dying. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Don't you think you need to get that settled now? Okay, enough of that. It's hard for me to get out of fair mode sometimes. I'm already hungry. Brother Steve and I have been talking about food. White Castle, no, it's not for me. I would rather eat the cat burgers at the fair any day than White Castle. Amen. All right, so here's the deal. Making a difference. How are we going to make a difference? I have three thoughts for you today. Ready? You have your pens, you're ready. I was going to give you a handout today, but we had a Sunday school class that was going on in there, and I thought last thing they need to hear is a printer running the whole time. So, number one, Amber, you ready back there? All right, make sure Amber's awake. And by the way, Amber and Tim, they served God so much at the fair this week. All those young people, they helped out Jutana on the piano. And Jutana, she talked to people this week and really went out of her way until last night. And some guy was hitting on her. And Jutana's like, you know, wedding ring and all that. And the guy, and finally, I told somebody, I said, go over there and save her. But nobody would. So, Wendell peeked around her and then he left. And I'm like, really? Squirrel, he got lost on the way around the corner. And poor Jutana was left out there hanging. But that's okay. She's here this morning, so apparently she didn't get swayed away by that fine-looking. Here's what she said. She said, he was so old, he must have been 50. And I'm like, really? All right, bring back in. Let's finish this today. Ready? Number one, if we're going to make a difference in our world, first of all, the Word of God's got to make a difference in us. Remember the Word of God. Jude says, I wanted to write to you about the common salvation, but I had to write to you about contending, fighting for the faith. Not just out in public, but I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest wars of fighting for the faith is right here in our own heart and our lives. Verse number 17. Let's read the text now. He says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. We see that in our world today. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. He identifies what's going on in the culture and the world. And then notice what he says to believers in the next couple of verses. Verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, notice what he says here, keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Had a man stop in a tent yesterday or maybe day, it must have been the day before. At first, he was out there looking at the board and was getting everything ready. And so I hollered at him. I said, "Hey, come on in." And he did. And he said, "I need to talk to you about something." I said, "Okay." He said, "My daughter came by last night. And apparently she was walking down. And he said, she felt like somebody from this tent judged her because of the way she was dressed." I said, "What?" I said, "His name is Chris." I said, "Chris, we've been doing this for 9 years. We've talked to thousands, literally thousands of people. And I just don't believe that is true." I said, "No, let me say this. That's not accurate. She may have felt that way about something." I said, "But that would not happen here." Then he began to share with me what else was going on in his life. And I was hoping he'd be here this morning. In fact, he said he would be here. But I was listening to him. And as he talked, I thought, "God, give me the words to say." Because literally, he had attacked in a kind way. But I want you to know, the hair on the back of my neck raised up a little bit. I thought, I hate it when people lie about what's going on. And that's what that little girl did. As I was sitting there listening to this man, I begin to share with him how God has used us through the years and how God has used that ministry to work in my life and in many of our lives. And I don't remember the verse that God gave him, but he gave me two or three verses, and I kind of quoted him to the man. And in just a few moments, he changed and he started weeping. And apparently the whole family has been going through something. And I'm so grateful to see the Word of God begin to work in his life. But let me tell you something. We need to remember the Word of God in our lives. If we're going to make a difference, it's not going to be us. It's going to be the Word of God that's going to make the difference. We've got to remember the authority of the Word of God. Look at it again, verse number 17. He says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." There is no way that these apostles could have written something that was false or not true. You know, you read through the Word of God and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you read the letters to the Romans and the Corinthians and all the others. And people today, they say, "Well, the Word of God is not true." Hold on a second. Whenever John wrote, or whenever Matthew wrote, or whenever Mark wrote, it was circulated around others, and those had listened to Jesus say those very words, and somebody would have said, "Hey, this is not right." Matter of fact, there's a multitude of epistles that are not included in the Word of God that the early Christians threw out because they knew it wasn't true. You read, and today, the History Channel is always pushing this, the Epistle of Barnabas and some of the others, and say, those are equal with the Word of God. No, the Word of God is the Word of God. And the reason why is because it's true. We remember and obey the words that the apostles had written so long ago. Then our lives are literally being built upon that which Jesus loved and gave Himself for. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth." The word sanctify, we use it in so many different areas in the Christian life. And in this context where he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth," it means to cleanse from corruption, to purify from sin, to make holy by detaching the affections from the world and turning and exalting God. Sanctify. whenever we remember the Word of God, then God can begin to change and build our lives. I watched this week as the Word of God changed people. It changes them. They come up to the little board and it says, see three things God cannot do. And there's all kind of reactions to that. Some, they come over mad because they think we're a cult. They're like, there's nothing God can't do. I love that one. Really? Flip that first door open. God cannot lie. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm right. And you're wrong. But I don't say that, all right? I won! Yes, amen. But they read those verses, and it's not just God cannot lie. They sit there and they read, and you can see their mouths moving as they're reading through. And it deals with eternal life. God cannot change. I am the Lord, I change not. And you get to that third one, and boy, you can just see the Word of God. God cannot let anyone in heaven unless they've been born again. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oftentimes they'll look, and they're like, they'll look around like, you know what they're looking for? Who's behind me so I can run? A wave escape. But the Word of God's already working in their lives. Why? Because it's the breath of God. It contains the Spirit of God. Whenever you read the Bible, there's something about it that resonates with your spirit deep down. And all God's people said, there's just something different about the Bible. We say it's inspired. That literally means God breathed. 2 Timothy says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You say, what does that mean? That means it tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. Amen. And the reason why is that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished in all good works. Inspiration. The words of God are the result of God speaking to men great truths to us. So we begin to remember the Word of God. Remember the warnings. Remember the predictions. Remember the challenges. Number two today, we're going to make a difference in our world. We need to begin to reinforce the work of God in our hearts. What did God do in your life? What has God done in your life? How many of you are like me? It's easy to forget sometimes how good God's been to you. You know, we go through some troubles, and boy, that's all we seem to focus on. I got a blister on one of my fingers. Tim from touching something the other day on one of those machines. And I knew before I touched it that it was 700 degrees Fahrenheit. After I touched it, I experienced that it was 700 degrees Fahrenheit. It didn't take me long to look at it, by the way. But I got a blister on that one finger, and you know what? I tend to focus on that. That hurts. But you know, I got 9 other ones that are okay. I get one little thing in my life, and that tends to be the only thing I look at. And I have so much else that I can thank God for. Begin to reinforce the work. So what am I supposed to reinforce? Amber, I think I put this one on the screen. Reinforce the beliefs that are the foundation of your faith. Here's some questions you ought to ask yourself. What do I believe? What do I believe? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe Jesus is the only way of salvation? Do you believe in hell and heaven? I ask you, why? Why do I believe it? We have Bible club at the high school here at Indy Creek. Been doing that for 7-8 years. Hopefully we'll get back in. We've petitioned them, and they're kind of slow walking through the system. We'll see what happens. And one of the things we tell those teenagers all the time, what do you believe? Why? We try to teach them what they believe, and what they should believe, and what the Bible teaches. And we try to teach them why they believe. But then a number three question is one that we probably really need to ask ourselves. What difference does it make in my life that I believe? Now, it's okay for us to believe right, but if we're going to make a difference in others' lives, make a difference in our world, make a difference in our families, then the Word of God's got to make a difference in my life. I read about God's forgiveness for sinners, right? What do I believe? I believe that God forgives. Why do I believe that? Because I read it in the Bible, because I've experienced it, I've seen it. But then what difference does it make in my life? Who do I need to forgive? You say, but preacher, you don't know what they've done. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. The Bible says you forgive. Even if they don't ask for it, even if they don't deserve it, you still forgive. Unforgiveness creates bitterness, and bitterness is a poison that'll eat the container from the inside out. The antidote for error. The antidote for error is not simply to pull back from the wrong, but also to be able to be built up in that which is right. What you believe, right here, what you believe, sorry, point back there, there's a screen back there too. What you believe will change how you act. Rooted and built up in Him, establishing the faith as you've been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. May God help us today to be rooted and grounded in love. Reinforce the Word of God. Reinforce the beliefs. Reinforce your personal times of prayer. It's needful for God's people to go back to having real prayer lives today. Not just a little ditty that we say around the dinner table, but we actually get before God and we pray and we spend time with Him in the mornings and we spend time with Him throughout the day. And we spend time praising Him in the evening. May our lives be a time of prayer. You pray all the time. Whenever your boss is talking to you, keep praying. You don't need to listen to him anyways. When the teacher's telling you something, young people, just don't worry about that. Just pray. You'll be all right. Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint, not to quit. Likewise, the Apostle Paul writes, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How many of you have ever been in a place you didn't really know what to pray about? You just been there? And you were silent before God? Maybe you just kind of groaned a little bit because your heart was just so heavy. Maybe all you do is weep. Can I tell you something? God knows what's going on in your spirit. Reinforce your time of prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Reinforce your personal devotional life. If we're going to make a difference in our lives, we're going to have to reinforce some things. The Bible promises to bless those that meditate on the Word of God. I'm all for people reading the Bible. And I think all of us should read the Bible, but we read the Bible so that we begin to study the Bible, so that we can begin to memorize the Bible, so that we can begin to meditate on the Bible, so that we begin to live the Bible. Don't neglect meditation in there, because if you don't think on the things of God, you'll think on something else. If you have a problem with anger, find some verses in the Bible about anger. Begin to memorize those, but then begin to meditate on it throughout the day. Just think about it. Let God's Word just seep deep into your heart. Brother Tony asked us last week to read through and pray through that portion in Isaiah 54 there. And I was sitting in a tent over there this week, and I'm reading through, Lord, enlarge my tent. And I'm thinking, I don't need a bigger tent. Stretch out. Lengthen. Strengthen. And I was reading that and I thought, wow, the Word of God makes a difference in our lives. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We live in a 24-hour-a-day news cycle. You know what they're pushing right now? Fear. Fear. People are afraid of everything. Fear. We're afraid to say stuff, to act out stuff, to write things, because we don't want to be labeled. We don't want to fear. Afraid of COVID or COVID-19 or COVID-22 or COVID-2021 or whatever they're calling that. Wuhan virus. Fear. If you're not careful, you'll meditate on that. You'll meditate on Facebook, Instagram. Every Sunday, I get something on my phone, and it bzzz, and I look down, and it tells me how many hours I spent on my screen last week. I was looking at that, and I thought, oh, wow. What did I do for, 58 hours last week on my phone? Really? I only sent 3 texts. Amen. Verse number 22. Last verse. We're finished. I haven't read this one yet. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating. Notice this, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. It doesn't say hating even the person. It says hating what they're involved in. There's a huge push in our society right now that if you disagree with someone, you hate them. Now, somehow or another, we've got to live such a way that we take away that thought from them. Amen? Because just because I disagree with someone doesn't mean I can't love them. I can't care for them. I can't share with them the gospel. Because I look around this auditorium, and I'm going to tell you something. There's probably not 2 of us in here that believe exactly the same. Now, a few of you, you may believe in a few conspiracy theories. But I promise you, you're nowhere where I'm at. And then you got Terry McKinney that is like beyond all of that. Yeah, amen. So none of us believe exactly the same. But you know what? God uses our differences to make a difference. Iron sharpeneth iron. We learn things. But there's a whole culture today that they're saying, well, you hate me. No. But I know this. I know the consequences of that sin. And if you'll let me, I'll warn you where it goes. They're beating those kids again back there. Amen. Training them early. Number 3 thought today. If we're going to make a difference, we've got to reach out with the witness of God in our area. In your area. You don't have to go to the fair and hand out 5,000 gospel tracts. You don't have to stand at the fair, the cult booth, the Jesus booth, the smile booth, whatever else they want to call it. You don't have to stand there. But God has put you in an area. And He's brought some people into your area, and you need to witness to them. But you can't witness to them until you allow the Word of God to begin to make a difference in your own heart and your life. And you can't witness to them until you begin to reinforce those truths. By the way, witnessing will help you reinforce what you believe. Because here's what people are going to ask you. What do you believe? You know what else they're going to ask? Well, why? Why? Well, my preacher said. Most of the people don't even know your preacher. So, it's like they don't care what your preacher said. Well, the Bible says, where? And then they'll say stuff like this. Well, that's your interpretation. No. Can you read this out loud? I love it whenever people read the Bible out loud. Many times I'll determine whether or not they can read very well. By the way, I'm shocked at how many of our young people can't read. But I have them read the Word of God, and you can just see the Bible beginning. It's not about interpretation then. It's about the inspiration of the Spirit, and it begins to change their heart. It'll change ours too. We must get to the place that we're willing to make a difference and reach out in our area of influence. Well, let me tell you the truth, and then I'll close. It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. Don't let the world tell you, well, you've got to lie in order to do it. No. Just be truthful. If you are forced into a situation where you feel like you must lie, don't say anything at all. Just look dumb. I can do that pretty well. And it's like, they're expecting a response. You're just like, mm-mm. For the most part, men, you'll never get in trouble for what you don't say. But that's not always true, is it, Terry? Talk to Terry about the conspiracy theories, he'll tell you. Jatana will tell you. Okay, close today. Ready? Are you ready for God to make a difference in your life? He can't use you to make a difference somewhere else unless He's making a difference in your life. Where are you at in your personal walk with Him? Your Bible reading, your prayer time? Who has God brought into your life that you need to speak to about? Maybe Jesus? Maybe just encouragement? You know, there's a lot of discouraged people around us. Maybe sometimes you just look at them and say, hey, is there something I can pray with you about? I was walking out of a hospital one day, years ago. I'd been there visiting a member that was not doing well. In fact, within just a few weeks, they passed away. When I was walking back out in my truck, and there's a man. I'd never seen him before. He was kind of walking to me, and I looked at him and said, hi, how you doing? He says, I'm doing very well. He said, but you don't look like you're doing very good. Ah, total stranger, man. Really? You weirdo? He said, would it be all right if I prayed for you? I'm like, put my hand on my gun. Yeah. Amen. I don't know what was going on. I really did. I'm thinking, what's the matter with this guy? He started to pray. He started weeping. I started weeping. I'm sure people walking around us thinking, weirdos. I've never seen him again. You know what he did? He reached into my life that day and he witnessed the love of God. He demonstrated the love of God. I'm going to tell you something. He made a difference that day. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I have ever been hardly under that much of the influence of the Spirit of God that I'd be willing to talk to a total stranger in the parking lot and say, hey, can I pray for you? But I'm going to tell you something. It made an impact, and it made an impact years later. I had forgotten about that story until just now. What needs to change in order for us to make a difference like we should? I'm sure there's something for every one of us today. Maybe there's somebody here today, you just need to trust Christ as your Savior. What needs to change in order for God to have complete control of your life? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.